Good evening. I desire y'all's prayers that the Lord would help me get the thought out that he has for us this evening. So what I wrote on the board is holding truth in unrighteousness. So, how would we hold truth in unrighteousness? Anybody ever thought that you could do something like that? Is there a way to take truth and put it in something that's not going to be proper? If we look at our world today and consider a lot of what's out there, have you ever seen statements that when you dig into them, you start finding that there's a bit of truth in the statement, but maybe not everything you should know? That they've taken a bit of truth and they've mixed it in with some stuff and they've turned it around. Can we do that with the Word of God? Can we do that with the beauty of truth that the Lord has put out there? So I'd like to start off reading in 1 Romans chapter 1, starting off in verse 18. 1 Romans 1:18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." Now here the Bible's talking about people holding the truth in unrighteousness. And I find it interesting when you look at it, there were some characteristics of these people. The first one was that they actually had a knowledge of God. These were not people that had simply heard things from professing Christians and picked it up and held it in error. These were people that actually had the knowledge of God. Now, if you had the knowledge of God, why would you be holding truth in unrighteousness? Where would you make the mistake of that? How do you get from a knowledge of God and His truth to, dare I say, a misunderstanding of that truth? One of the other things that they call out was, while these people had a knowledge of God, it says they refused to honor him. They didn't glorify him. What does it mean when we don't glorify God? How does that impact our view of God? We heard Thanksgiving this evening for prayer, where we were calling out to the Lord and in front of others, "We're thankful that you did these things." But if we refuse to give thanks to the Lord for what he does, what does that mean? How does that change the way we view God? Could it mean we're starting to expect him to do that? We're starting to view this as our right to have this kind of thing happen to us? That we're his chosen children? Does that sound familiar from anywhere in the history of the Bible? Where we can actually take the truth, and because we aren't thankful, we stop honoring God. We stop recognizing him as God was mentioned. Can you imagine knowing God, but then eventually saying, I don't recognize him as God, but still holding the truth, trying to say this is the truth, this is the right way to live? But deep down inside, the belief that God is not there. Ungrateful. And then it said they became vain. Now, what does it mean to become vain? Vain in their imaginations, and the foolishness of their heart was darkened. What do we think about the word vain? Vain means solid, it means truthful, or when we think of something that's vain, we think of it more about appearance, more about show, more about how it impacts me than somebody else. We start looking at the word from, what can I get out of this? How will this profit me? Do you know you can start doubting things when that happens? Because, well, Lord, you said you would do this in your word, but I don't see it happening to me. I'm not getting what I expected from you. So I've not been showing God thankfulness. We become ungrateful, starting to feel maybe privileged, and now we're questioning because we're not seeing the actions we feel like we should see from the Lord. And potentially holding God at fault. Not a good place to find ourselves in. And all of this leads to the person holding the truth. I mean, we talk sometimes about ministers around the world on Sundays preaching from this book. Preaching the truth. Every one of them would say, I've got it. Do we feel like that everybody that says that they've got the truth and preaches from the book is automatically preaching correctly? Have you ever considered what that means to say, I've got the truth, I'm holding it right? It's easy to sometimes say that. But as I've said before, when I'm up here, it's a fearful thing. Because I am standing up here with a claim that I am speaking on behalf of the Lord. Am I? Who judges that? I know the Lord does. So let's go now to Romans chapter 2 and verse 17. Romans 2:17 says, Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost not thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, though breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So this is a passage, and the Lord is speaking to a professed teacher of the law. Someone who says, I know this. I have the truth. Not only do I have it, but I can teach others. Did this passage sound like that was the actual state of the man being questioned? Or the person, I should say, in this case? If we go there to verse 17, it starts off, you're called a Jew and resteth in the law. You have your profession. You have your rules. You have the way that you boast that this is how I follow God. And you boast, you know, his will. And that you approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now this means that you can actually claim to have discernment of the proper things that need to be known. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the feeble, a teacher of babes. So this sounds like a very confident religious person, doesn't it? I'm solid in my faith. I have a complete understanding of the law. I've been taught out of the law. I can teach people out of the law. But this person is not being talked about in a good example in this passage. This person is being talked about because they're not holding the truth in righteousness. Because you start seeing some of it come out here at the end of verse 20, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Now this phrase of the form, that word form, actually means the shape. And if you want to get into it a little more specific, the outside shape, the appearance. So you're a teacher of babes, and what you're teaching them is the externals. How to look right on the outside to the other people that are trying to look at Christianity, in our case. This was speaking to the Jews, but for us it would be for Christianity, that we are putting ourselves out there, but when we really teach, are we teaching the matter for the inside? Are we going to where it matters, or are we just stopping at the form? Because it said the form of knowledge and of the truth. It wasn't going deep into the truth either. This form applied, this outward shape teaching applied to both the knowledge and the truth. Have you ever converse with people in the world about why they don't believe in the Bible, about what's going on, why they just don't see that as the truth? Have you ever had any of them tell you, well, it's because of what I see people do? They say one thing and they do something different. What's happening? When we say one thing, but we do something different, do we recognize it? It says there, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Now, do you think the Jews were going around stealing back then, which is why this was put out there? But you know, we can steal from God in a way that the world will see and understand. Isn't there a verse about you steal from me by the tithes and the offerings? People know when you say, I've given my all to the Lord. You know, if they watch your life for a little bit, they'll be able to know, did you? Did you give your all to the Lord? Or will they see, yeah, he gave 75%. But he held back 25%. He apparently hadn't let go of that part yet. Do you know the world is actually pretty good at picking out stuff like that in our lives? We may not see it. But if a person is trying to really analyze what's going on around them, they will notice. They will say, that missed a piece there. You didn't give it all. I've had some coworkers call me out. I thought you believed this. Well, I do. Why do you say it different? Blah, 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 blah. Oh. Very good catch on your part. Thank you very much. And I will work on that. Bit embarrassing, but, you know, the Lord will reprove you from wherever he needs to. Then it goes on to say, thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Now, we know that the Jewish people, after they came back from Babylon, they did not go back to idolatry. So why is it talking about idolatry here? But it did use the word sacrilege. Now, what does this word sacrilege mean? If we talk about something being sacrilegious, we usually are implying that there's something that should be held differently than we're holding it. One of the things that we hear in the world a lot that's not held properly is the Lord's name. Now, if I'm professing to be a Christian, don't you know that everybody out there in the world has heard the Ten Commandments probably? And isn't one of the Ten Commandments something about the Lord's name and how it's to be used? And yet, I've heard professing Christians in a moment of passion make a statement, and you can tell when they said it, they didn't even recognize what they've said. It was out there. And you can see the look sometimes on people's faces. Huh, I didn't expect that. Something that should have been held properly isn't held where it needs to be. And I mean, that's a simple example, but could there be other things in our lives that we're not thinking about? If you look at the Ten Commandments, that covers a lot at the end of the day. How you treat your fellow man, how you interact with people, how you treat your family, your spouse, how you work with people. And people can look and say, the person talks really good. They can quote the scripture. They've got that Bible down pat. They have the truth. But they're holding it in unrighteousness. They haven't quite taken care of it the way they need to. It says, thou that mockest thy boast, that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Have you thought about that part? That our actions of not following what we actually know we should follow can blaspheme against God to an unbeliever. To people that are simply aware of what we teach, what we believe, what the Bible says. Now, are those people judging us? We might say that, but I would say there's something else judging us. Because Jesus himself said, I don't condemn you. But he said, in eternity, my word will judge you. We have a word here. A word that we need to be digging into. A word that we individually need to figure out and understand. How does this apply to me? Dare I say our world today is good at trying to tell you how it applies to everybody else. I have to chuckle, and I'm in current events, it seems like if you want to figure out how something should have been handled, reach out into our internet media and ask someone, and you will get people to tell you exactly how it should have been handled. And if you don't like their answer, ask someone else, because they'll tell you how it should have been handled. And you'll find oftentimes that none of these solutions match up. Why? Because it's just a bunch of people with opinions that are saying, I know, pounding their fist, I know what needs to be done or should have been done or could be done, and if you just follow this, you'll have the solution. Now, I'm not the oldest man out here. I'm 51. But I can tell you right now, my experience in life is it's not that simple. It's not that simple. The people that are on this side of a subject or this side of a subject, they will present you their part of the facts, and then these people present their part of the facts. I would challenge you all on things like that. And spiritually, more so spiritually than those, is if you really start digging into it, you know the truth can be found. The truth can be found. It's not hidden. But you know, sometimes the truth isn't just sitting out in plain sight. Why did Jesus speak in parables? Didn't he say, because the prophet said, lest they hear with their ears and see with their eyes and be converted? Why? The people's heart wasn't right. So he spoke to them, gave them truth, but gave them truth in a way that required them to honestly seek for it. So now, kind of back to looking at truth. How many times have somebody said, I can point out all kinds of inconsistencies in the Bible? Have you all ever had a conversation with someone that tells you that and actually ask them to show you? Are you willing to be that, I'm going to use the word vulnerable? Because they're going to attack your faith. They're going to attack the way you believe. But I would challenge you all to look into what is called the inconsistencies. And what you'll find if you take the time to dig into them is it's a piece of this verse. And it's a piece of this verse. And it's maybe a piece of a passage over here that all appear to contradict each other. And therefore, the person says, not true. But do you know there's people that will do the same thing the opposite way? They will pick a piece of this verse, and they'll pick a piece of this verse, and they'll pick another piece of this little verse over here, and they find agreement. And they will tell you, this is true. I can prove it. But if you go in and you truly look at the full context of what's out there, oftentimes what you'll find is those that are saying there's all kinds of inconsistencies, there's not that inconsistency out there. If you look at those that say, well, I found this hidden truth in the Bible, it's not hidden. They're picking and choosing. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. They're not following the true truth. They're not asking the Lord to search my heart. Wasn't that what David said? Search my heart. Show me if there's anything in here. Now, why would David ask for his heart to be searched? Why was it Jesus spoke in parables again? Because their hearts weren't right. And because their hearts weren't right, their eyes couldn't see and their ears couldn't hear. And we can be sitting there holding the exact word of God, but because our hearts aren't right, we can't see it the right way. We can't hear it the right way. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Now notice this section of verses start off talking about, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. And what group did it say those people fell mainly into? Especially those of the circumcision. Those that claim to be of the Jewish lineage. Those that claim to have been part of the lineage from Abraham all the way to Christ. These people are the ones that were vain and unruly talkers. In our day, you know, we can have that too. There can be people that will come into the church and yet their spirit isn't right. Something's wrong. And the second verse there, verses 11, it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they might not for filthy lucre's sake. Now that filthy lucre, does that mean that these people are just out for the money? Or could it mean that these people are just out for what satisfies them, if we were to put it into our world today? I know I've mentioned it before. I've heard people say, well, that's not the way I see it. You can believe that, but that's not the way I believe it. How many different truths are there? Do you know I've heard that term in the world recently where somebody literally said, that's your truth, but it's not mine? Can you have two different truths on the same thing? It kind of defeats the purpose of what truth is. But that's the spirit that's in the world right now. That there are different truths. There are different things. And while it's tearing things up as far as just some of the things in our society, do you know what we have to watch out for? It can creep into our spiritual lives. You can get used to the fact that I don't have to accept everything. You know, sometimes the things going on in the world, it's not about what we might think it's about. It's the devil working with your minds to get you into a spot where he can do things. So if he can get you to saying, okay, well, I don't really have to believe everything. I can pick and choose the parts that I want to believe. I can pick and choose the facts I want to. I can pick and choose the verses. Then what happens to the truth? You know, some of the religions teach that Christ died and that it was an imposter that took his place. Others teach that Christ was snuck down off the cross somehow, an imposter put up there and killed. Do you know that's there's teachings as people try to explain things without using the holiness and majesty of God and his power to do what he did. To have Christ die and come back from the dead. I've watched people try to explain things by science. Turning water into wine. Well, it was probably this trick. If you do this and you do that, it'll turn into a liquid that looks like wine. I've watched people, as they devoutly claim to believe the Bible, but when it comes to explaining the miracles, they take God out of the picture. They turn to science. They turn to man. And I can explain to you how that happened. Here's what most likely happened back then. It wasn't God doing a miracle. A miracle wasn't needed. You just had to do this. What was one of the things they refused to honor God when they knew him? Some of the description of those that held truth and unrighteousness. There's things in the world where it feels good to say, I can fight the world with science. I can prove to them this could have happened. And sometimes I want to say, but do you realize by doing that, you're also proving that God wasn't required? Now, what kind of victory did you make for the Lord there? I would rather somebody tell me, I just don't believe that. Well, God's powerful. He can do anything he wants. You don't have to believe him. There will come a day you will. There will come a day you'll bow down. Bible says, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow. What does the one verse say about the devils? Even they tremble in fear. They may be against him, but they know who he is. There will come a time where we won't need to try to explain it to a man. We'll have to answer to God, what did you do with my truth? Did you change it? Did you change it for your benefit? For your version of filthy lucre? Looking down in verse 15 and 16 of the same chapter, 1 of Titus, says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now this verse just said that there's a truth, there's good out there. And to the good people, it's what? It's good, it's truth, it's solid. And to those whose minds and hearts aren't right, what is it? It's impure. It's not right. Is there a teaching that we've held for years that for some reason we suddenly feel like, yeah, maybe it wasn't what it should be? Maybe we don't need to be that strict with that. Maybe we can back up on this. Maybe we can do things a little differently. You know, there is a spirit of that. And I want us to think about Moses for a bit. Did God hold Moses to a different level of accountability than he did the rest of the Jewish people? The answer is yes. Why did Moses get told he couldn't go into the promised land? Because he simply spake unadvisedly with his lips. One mistake, if you will, and Moses, suddenly you can't go in. What all did the children of Israel do in that same time frame, and yet they were still going to get to go in? Almost seems unfair, doesn't it? Do you know the difference was Moses had understanding that the people didn't? Moses knew and was held accountable for what he knew. The people, they didn't seek for the understanding all the time, but they were held accountable. You know, if we're not careful, we can try to act like we haven't been given understanding. In all of these verses I've read, it starts off with the knowledge, doesn't it? The knowledge is already there. These are people that have had knowledge, and now they're trying to back away from it. They're trying to scale it back, to turn it down, to limit it. Why? Because, well, it's not as fun. It's not as popular. It's not as convenient for me. What's the truth? John 18:37-38 says, Pilate therefore said unto him, speaking to Jesus, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And I find it striking Pilate's next words. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Do you realize the spirit of you can have multiple truths has been around way before our day? It's been around since Christ was going to the crucifixion. What is truth? In essence, Pilate's saying, you've got your truth, other people have their truth. What is truth? And then when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said to them, I find in him no fault at all. Interesting that a man who was questioning truth said he didn't find a fault in Jesus, and Jesus had just told him, everybody that hears me heard the truth. So for Pilate, in a way, to say, I find no fault in him, he, in essence, is agreeing this man just spoke the truth. Because otherwise he said, well, I don't find a big deal in him, but he's a liar. He claimed that every time he speaks, it's true. That's not what Pilate said, was it? He said, I find no fault in him. What is truth? I would challenge us all in our world today, watch out for the little inroads of belief the devil will try to bring into your life. He will use things that are non-spiritual to get you to start accepting multiple versions of things without digging for the real truth. And if he can get you to do that for things in the world, then soon he can get you to do that for things in your spiritual life. And at that point, where are you going to be? Is your heart going to be where you can see? Or like those that Christ spoke the parable to, will your hearts be in such a manner that you can't see and you can't hear? Y'all pray for me.